Good morning, members. Now that the Honorable Masela is here, we can wish him a happy birthday or sing her happy birthday. Honorable Masela's birthday today. We wish you all of the best. May your dreams and wishes turn to success. Happy birthday, Honorable Masela. Are we going to sing?
Please don't.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
The last bit was like, what did he say? I love it.
The person I know, it's not a convincing to reply when there's some songs and wishes, but thank you very much.
Always welcome. Honorable members, we start to the meeting. Today we are going to further deliberate on the amendment bill, and we'd like to welcome our guests who are here today, and we hope that it will be a fruitful meeting as always, and lively. We are going to maybe vote on the bill today page by page, but we have a submission by the DA, and we will afford them the opportunity to take us through their submission. But before you do that, Honorable Lovemore, may we welcome Tate Mbele from Hope, who is joining us. And I think Honorable Balindela has been redeployed to other committees, and Honorable Mbele will be with us until further, maybe. Yeah, forever. Let's hope it's forever. You are welcome, Honorable Ben. Honorable Lovemore, we give the opportunity to you to take us through your submission.
Thank you, Chair. I just wondered, I haven't had a chance yet to go through what the department has presented with us with today, and I wondered whether it wouldn't be better for them to go through their changes first. Thank you.
It's not a problem. Let us give the department to take us through their changes. We all have the document in front of us. Mr. McKay, over to you.
Thank you and good morning, Honorable Members. The document that we presented reflects the amendments as we have been discussing them through the committees. And there are certain consequential amendments that are reflected here, which flow from certain amendments that were made. The document, I'll start on plus one, which amends the preamble to the Act. We are doing a consequential amendment in paragraph A to remove the word temporary in the and substitute that with the word visa. The paragraph C is already in the bill, reflected in clause 1 there, which has already been amended. Then in clause 2, on page 3, in line 6, it's a consequential amendment with regard to the changes that we made from permit to visa. And also in item number 2 there on page 3, it's still a consequential amendment wherein we are deleting the definition of permit as it appears in the bill currently. Item 3, still on page 3, after line 56, it's still a consequential amendment wherein we are redefining the visa, which currently is called a visa, but because of the changes that we're making from permit to visa, we have to readjust so that we avoid a bit of confusion. and that will read, port of entry visa means the authority to travel from a port of entry of another country to any port of entry of the Republic for the purpose of admission into the Republic as contemplated in section 10A. Then what follows there in item 4, on page 4, in line 4, it's been a consequential amendment where it will remove the word permit. And item 5, it's still a consequential amendment. The definition of visa that we have currently in the Act will be amended to reflect that it is no more the authority to travel, because we've redefined that. So the visas that are listed here are the ones that are currently called temporary residence permit. But because we're changing them into visas, we have to reflect them so that it becomes clear which ones are they. Then visa will mean means the authority to temporarily sojourn in the Republic for the purposes of a transit through the Republic as contemplated in section 10B, a visit as contemplated in section 11, a study as contemplated in section 13. Then D is conducting activities in the Republic. There are just some words missing that we would like to add there just to make it clear. It will read conducting activities in the Republic in terms of an international agreement to which the Republic is a party as contemplated in section 14. I'll repeat that. Conducting activities in the Republic in terms of an international agreement to which the Republic is a party as contemplated in section 14.
Are we together, honourable members? Did you get that one?
Yeah.
Thank you. Then in paragraph E, establishing or investing in a business as contemplated in section 15. F, working as a crew member of a convenience to the Republic as contemplated in section 16. G, obtaining medical treatment as contemplated in section 17. H, staying with a relative as contemplated in section 18. I, working as contemplated in section 19.2.4 and 5.0.21. This combines the work permits and the corporate, what you call corporate permit, now going to be a visa. J, retirement as contemplated in section 20. K, an exchange program as contemplated in section 22. L, apply for asylum as contemplated in section 23, or whichever is applicable in the circumstances. Then in clause 4, what follows the item 1, 2, 3, and 4, it's consequential amendments because of the move from permit to visa, so we need to reflect properly in the bill. Also, item 5, 6, 7, up to 8, 9, and 10 included, it's also consequential amendment where just to reflect the changes from visa, and then we are making clear that the visa that we have currently is going to be a port of entry visa. Then in clause 7, this is section 9, and it deals with subsections 1 and 2. We are amending that, and there are also consequential amendments, I'll indicate them, wherein the words temporary residence permit to visa. Then the addition that is there that you'll see, it says, for at the end, upon admission, a foreigner who is not the holder of a permanent residence permit may enter and sojourn in the Republic only if in possession of a temporary visa issued by the Director General for a prescribed period. I think just to explain this one, the discussions that we have had previously, for example, under the intra-company transfer work permit or visa, was saying we need to insert the words for a prescribed period. But then going through the entire bill and checking and making sure that each and every visa has got a time frame tied to it, the best way was to have in this main clause that is with the visas indicate that they should be for a particular period, and that will deal with the inconsistencies that may exist. Then the subsection 2 thereof, it then says, subject to this act upon application in person and in the prescribed manner, just removing the words that are avoided there. Subject to this act upon application and in the prescribed manner, A foreigner may be issued one of the following visas for the purposes of, then it leaves the purpose for which a person may be granted or issued with a visa. It's still the same that I've indicated previously. Then what will then do is under D, we'll just adjust the wording also in line with those words. We'll say conducting activities in the Republic in terms of an international agreement to which the Republic is a party as contemplated in section 14. I'll repeat, conducting activities in the Republic in terms of an international agreement to which the Republic is a party as contemplated in section 14. Then the what appears under item 3, 4 and 5 are consequential amendments of the word permit to visa. Then the item 2 on page 6 from line 24 up to and including line 29, this deals with the change of status. It's section 1006 in the Act. Then it will be, as was discussed before, it will be subdivided into paragraphs. The first paragraph will deal with the all other permits that are to be, that a person can apply to the DG for change of status or conditions. It will read subject to this act, a foreigner, then it says other than the holder of a visitor's or medical treatment visa may apply to the Director General in the prescribed manner, then we're removing the bolded word, to change his or status or the terms and conditions. Those that for consistency throughout, because somewhere the act talks about terms, the conditions, sorry, but then somewhere terms and conditions, so we need to have consistency throughout for better interpretation. Attached to his or her visa or both such visas and terms and conditions, as the case may be, while in the Republic. So then, the paragraph B will then say, an application for change of status attached to a visitor's or medical treatment visa shall not be made by the visa holder while in the Republic, except in exceptional circumstances as prescribed. So these two will serve the purpose of the paragraph B saying, a person who is holding a medical or a visitor's visa would only make an application that will be considered, but it should be in exceptional circumstances that the person is to change his or her status. Then what appears under item subsection 7, 9, and going to page 6 until 10, these are consequential amendments of the word permit to visa. Then in clause 8, which deals with the, these are consequential amendments that are to be reflected flowing from the change of visa to permit, it deals with the section that deals currently with visas. So we're amending that in line with the changes that we've agreed on. Then the throughout under item Roman figure 2A2 will add those words in terms conducting activities in the Republic in terms of an international agreement to which the Republic is a party as contemplated in section 14. I'll repeat, conducting activities in the Republic in terms of an international agreement to which the Republic is a party as contemplated in section 14. Then the rest will be fine in line with the previous indication that I've made. Then what appears from the paragraph item 3, subsection 3, sorry, 4, and also, up until there, it's still consequential amendments from visa to permit, and also just clarifying that there's a port of entry visa for the purpose of clarity. And then on page 8, I just want to make an indication that the way it says on page 7 before line 1, let's please change it to make it more clear, to say on page 6 after line 50. So that it is clear that it comes after a particular line, not rather we are adopting the style of using after than before. So it will read on page 6 after line 50. Then this what appears this consequential amendment should be clear from the word permit to visa. And the other one is where it says sections 13 to 24. It's still a consequential amendment because the bill currently amends or repeals section 24, that is a cross-border permit, so we're just adjusting that also as a consequential. And the rest, as we go down, it's permit to visa, after the consequential amendment. On page 9, under clause 10, still the consequential amendment that will appear is permit to visa, and where under subsection 2, it just appears down there, a treaty permit may be issued by under B, the Department of Foreign Affairs. Part of the bill currently where we said we're removing the specific naming of departments so that we properly identify them in the regulation. Then the clause 11 also is the business permit of issue, the consequential amendment is what appears there at the bottom of page 9. Then the words under paragraph B, the amendment will be subject to subsection 1A. A business visa may be issued by the Director General to a foreigner intending to establish or invest here, or who has established or invested in a business in the Republic in which he or she may be employed, and an appropriate visa for the duration of the business visa to the members of such foreigner's immediate family, provided that then it reflects the changes that the issue that has been discussed and in the committee regarding the type of businesses. Remember, the original was including the word national interest, but then we have now inserted the subsection 1A to clearly deal with those businesses that are considered not to be desirable for the purpose of issuing a business visa. And that will appear under 1A, under C. It will say no business visa may be issued or renewed in respect of any business undertaking which is listed as undesirable by the minister from time to time in the Gazette after consultation with the minister responsible for trade and industry. So this will be read together with subsection 1. Then going back a bit up under sub Roman 2, it's the clause where, or the provision where, the number of people that may be employed by a person holding a business permit is indicated, and we had to remove the word permanently. It is there, we've removed it. It will say such foreigner is undertaken to employ the prescribed percentage of number of citizens or permanent residents within a period of 12 months from the date of issue of a visa. Then the rest, what will appear under D, will be consequential amendments for permit to visa. Then, right at the bottom there will be a new clause. And we're saying it's a new clause because it's not in the bill currently, but it is about consequential amendments. So, as it will appear on page 11, it's all about consequential amendments that we are indicating. But then, under sub 3, just to indicate, the Act currently provides that the holder of a crew visa, and the word visa should be underlined there, just to indicate that it's... But it's currently in the bill, but it's just underlined so that when the amendments are done, it's proper. It says may not conduct work. It has there, but then for the sake of clarity, that what do we mean by not conducting work? Because this person is the holder of a crew permit. It's just to say this is not the work that is attached to or related to the crew permit, so or visa. So you can't do any other work if you're a crew member, except the work that we have been issued a crew visa for. Then again, what follows, there is a new clause, is consequential amendment under the medical treatment visa, just to reflect the changes that are to be made. Another one there also, it relates to relative visa, as it appears on page 12, it's consequential amendment. Then under clause 12, which deals with section 19 in the Act, it's we're reflecting the consequential amendment there from the word permit to visa. What appears under paragraph B and C has been in the bill currently. And as I indicated earlier, that in the main clause, section 10, the words for a prescribed period will be indicated. So they've been removed from this one so that all visas, are tied to a particular time frame. So then also what will appear on page 13, going down, is what will be contained in the bill currently, except for the under 4, for example, 3 and 4, where the word permit appears, it will be visa, just as consequential amendments. Also under sub-5, intra-company transfer work permit, we're removing permit to visa, and the rest are as they appear in the bill currently. And also under sub-6 is consequential amendments that we are doing from permit to visa. Then in this, the what appears under 14 as new clause, it's also consequential amendments that will be reflected under the retired person's visa. Clause 13, relating to corporate visas permits, is consequential amendment that appears at the bottom of page 14. Then the provision that is in the bill that is being amended, it will read, subject to subsection 1A, a corporate visa may be issued by the Director General to a corporate applicant to employ foreigners who may conduct work for such corporate applicant in the Republic. Then the sub 1A, that is to deal with those businesses that are considered that a corporate visa will not be issued to, will read, no corporate visa may be issued or renewed in respect of any business undertaking which is listed as undesirable by the minister from time to time in the Gazette after consultation with the minister responsible for trade and industry. Then what appears under paragraph D there is it's in the bill, but then there is some amendment that is there. As it reads, we are removing the words after consultation with the Department of Labor and Trade and Industry. Then it will read, the Director General shall determine the maximum number of foreigners to be employed in terms of corporate visa by a corporate applicant after having considered. What is in the bill currently, we'll read that, I'll just go to the bill itself, bear with me for a moment. In the bill on page 8, it reads, the Director General shall determine, in line 31, the Director General shall determine, it reads underlined, in consultation with the prescribed department, the maximum number of foreigners. And the reasoning thereof is, this is the determination about the number. So perhaps the in consultation is going to stifle the processes in terms of consulting on a particular number. But then when a person applies, we would indicate this is the number that I need, and then DG will be able to consider and determine that rather than in consultation with. Then as we proceed, paragraph E, F, G, with consequential amendments on permit to visa. Then paragraph H, it's an amendment that is in the bill, but then just to clearly indicate the intention here, it will currently read, in the bill, a foreigner employed in terms of a corporate permit shall work for the holder of that corporate permit. Then there are consequential amendments that we're doing also. It will read, a foreigner employed in terms of a corporate visa shall exclusively work for the holder of that corporate visa. So this is to deal with this. The intention of this clause is to deal with the situations where a person comes on a corporate, under a corporate, a particular corporate applicant, but then ends up working for any other person for which that person has never applied for that person to be in the Republic. Then what appears, sorry, we'll just move the weight loss 14 to the next page so that it ties nicely with what it appears under. Then what will appear there under paragraph, it deals with section 22, which currently in the bill was being, while we were deleting paragraph C, but following discussions that were there in the committee, we had to reinstate this paragraph B. But then firstly, we're doing consequential amendments from permit to visa under paragraph 1A, B, and C also is just the styling that we've done currently, that just to tie in with all other changes that have been made or amendments we made about that style. Then, also, under B, it's consequential amendments for payment to visa. Then under E, that's where the paragraph B about a person is under the age of 25 who can get an exchange permit. Then it will firstly deal with the consequential amendments in Roman figure paragraph 2 and 3. Then under, so the numbering also should there be EF. And then under F, it will read, by the addition in paragraph B of the following subparagraph, Roman figure 4, no visa may be granted under this section if the offer to conduct work pertains to an undesirable work as published by the minister from time to time in the Gazette after consultation with the minister responsible for trade and industry. This will, as it will read in the Act, just to assist with regard to that. Just a moment. It will read that an exchange permit, sorry, visa, may be issued by the Director General to a foreigner, then under B, who is under 25 years of age and has received an offer to conduct work for no longer than 1 year, provided that, then it starts listing Roman Figure 1 of Paragraph 1, the prospective employer certifies that the position exists and has committed himself or herself to, then pay such foreign remuneration which complies with the applicable, also with applicable legal requirements. Then there is a condition B and C. Then Roman Figure 2, such foreigner may not conduct work other than the work for which the visa is issued. Then C, such foreigner may not qualify for permanent that is indicated. Then we have Roman Figure 4 that will say no visa may be granted under this section if offered to conduct work pertaining to an undesirable work. So it will flow like that.
Can you maybe repeat that again?
Okay. The way it will read in the Act, it will say an exchange visa may be issued by the Director General to a foreigner. There will be category A, that's where the cultural, economic and social exchange. Then the paragraph B pertains to a person who is a foreigner who is under 25 years of age and has received an offer to conduct work for no longer than 1 year, provided that, then it will have sub-paragraph 1, 2, 3, and the fourth one will be this one. The first one will deal with the, that it will say the prospective employer certified the position exists and has committed himself or herself to pay such foreigner. The paragraph B, provide for the welfare. C, report to the DG the failure of the foreigner to comply. And then there will be supplement 2, saying such foreigner may not conduct work other than the work for which the visa is issued. 3, such foreigner may not qualify for permanent residence permit within 2 years after expiring the exchange visa. Which requirement may be worked on the Director General in extraordinary circumstances, then there will be this subparagraph 4. Then we'll just move the clause 15 to the next page there. And on page 17, this is under clause 15 currently in the bill, that pertains to section 23 of the Act. It's asylum transit visa. We're doing in paragraph A there, we're doing consequential amendments from permit to visa. And then in paragraph B, the amendment is done pertaining to what was discussed in the committee. It will say the Director General may, subject to the prescribed procedure under which an asylum transit visa may be granted. Just to indicate there, what we had in the committee last week as we made presentation, the declarations were made, it was written the Director General may, subject to any terms and conditions, then there was a proposal to add as prescribed. But then going through the discussion and decision of the committee, that the prescreening that will be done using the word prescreening would only relate to the issues relating to, are you not a fugitive from justice, that procedure, not necessarily that a person, the prescreening will relate to whether a person qualifies for asylum the way it was in the bill currently. Then the amendment will serve, so this amendment will serve to clearly say the procedure that will be prescribed, it will be under which an asylum transit visa may be granted, and that procedure would, as the committee discussed, relate to the issues that the regulations will contain about is this person not a fugitive from justice, is not a prohibited person also, and that will be that. Then it will continue to read, the Director General may, subject to the prescribed procedure under which an asylum transit visa may be granted, issue an asylum transit visa to a person who a report of entry claims to be an asylum seeker, valid for a period of 5 days only, to travel to the nearest refugee reception office in order to apply for asylum. In the subsection 2, will then read, despite anything contained in any other law, when the visa is a consequential amendment contemplated in subsection 1 expires before the holder reports in person. I think the words to a refugee reception officer should be removed. Then it will read at a refugee reception office in order to apply for asylum in terms of section 21 of the Act of sorry of the Refugees Act 1988, Act Number 130 of 1988. The holder of that visa, the word visa should be underlined there, shall become an illegal foreigner and be dealt with in accordance with this Act. So they went to a refugee reception officer should be removed because they already the Refugees Amendment Act of 2008 is doing away with refugee reception officers, and I think it was just an oversight on the part of the bill. Currently doesn't contain the words to a refugee reception officer. We just properly remove that.
Can we go back to the line 1?
Subsection 1, yes.
Yes, subsection 1. Where we said the extra time should be added. And you didn't include that.
The word prescribed appeared there. I was indicating that the previous amendment was saying terms and conditions, but I explained the difficulty that we're going to come across in that. The terms and conditions do not necessarily reflect what the procedure. It will be terms and conditions that may relate to other things, but not exactly the procedure of the committee. Wanted the plot to be, but the word subject to the prescribed procedure will reflect the intention that there should be a particular procedure followed when the asylum transit visa is issued that will relate to the examples that I've given, you know, the fugitive from justice and so on. I'm not sure if that clarifies, Chair. Thank you. Then proceeding to clause 17, which currently deals with section 26. What is reflected there is in the bill, we are just adding consequential amendments to that clause. Also, what appears on page 18 is consequential amendments. For example, the age of 21 of majority is now 18. We're just reflecting that. Then the clause 18 pertains to section 27. Also, this reflects the consequential amendment that we're done so that we make it clear that the word permit, as it appears, relates to permanent residence permit. And that flows down with also the age of 21 to 18 years in the constitutional amendment, and that goes down to the last of the end of the page. Then on page 19, pertaining to clause 19, it's still consequential amendments that we're reflecting based on the decision that was taken. Then on clause 20, it's clauses 20, 21, and 22 is also consequential amendment, just to omit the word permit where it appears so that we properly reflect that permanent president and where for event visa we just add that. So this is just to in line with the consequential amendment that have been made. Then clause 4 pertains to the offenses that we've done, and just as we agreed, there are no changes there on page 20. Then on page 21, there are consequential amendments that are done on like items 16, 17, and 18. That pertains to say where the word permanent resident should be inserted before the word permit, sorry, after the word permit. To insert permanent residence, it will be before permit so that it becomes permanent resident permit, and then we're inserting port of entry visa. Then item 19, we just to omit still the offenses, that one, and also item 20, that we're omitting 20 years to be substituted with 15 years and 10 years for 7 years. Then also on clause 25, item number 1 there, it's also a consequential amendment that we're just removing the word permit or in the bill. Then clause 6 in the bill pertains to the substitution of waste, which is what I've been indicating throughout, that we're doing consequential amendments, and so that because we've done that, this clause then will have to be rejected. I think that pertains to the amendments that we have made to have discussed in the committee previously. Thank you, Chair.
Can you repeat clause 26?
Chair and honorable members? Rejected will mean it will be removed from the bill, because the purpose for which it was included has already been dealt with by doing the changes from the word permit to visa. So that has been catered for. Thank you.
Okay. I see parliamentary advisor minus honorable members. Okay. Speaker advisor.
President, I apologize for being late. I'm driving the Memorial Beacon for our offices, and he's indicated that there is this substantiation of all the wording for permits wherever it occurs in the Act for the word of visa. I need to just place it on record that it is not normal practice, and that we rather use this particular omnibus clause wherever it appears in bills. So from our side, we would like to just point out to the committee that it might be a dangerous type of thing to open up wherever the word permit appears throughout the Act, and then mention those particular provisions in the Act, because that opens it up for debate. Every provision where as I understand, list was completed, where certain words were then replaced with the word visa instead of permit. And I just need to just again caution, because it is normal practice to rather have it in the way that we've drafted it in clause 28, so that it automatically, wherever the word appears, you then automatically substitute that word with a specific word. So it's just a caution to the committee and to the chairperson, if I may, just to advise that it might create unintended consequences. And secondly, also, it might also open up the matter for debate, and there might be also a possibility that somewhere in the Act itself, we might have overlooked a specific provision where the word has not been substituted as intended. And that is why you normally have the substitution of words clause like it was in the bill. So it's just to put it on record and to just give the committee the necessary advice. Chairperson, I'm Karen Boyce, and I'm from the Office of the Chief Special Advisor. I apologize for being late, but I just wanted to just address the committee on this particular issue. Thank you for your indulgence.
Thank you, ma'am, for introducing yourself, because I thought maybe you are one of the guests would maybe come to make an input here. You are welcome. And I'm not sure if the department would like to respond to them, because you have raised that we are on page 14, honorable members, of the bill. Substitution of words. Remember, we are changing permit to visa. I think that is the issue that the state law advisors are raising, that this is how they usually do it. And the department didn't do it, didn't follow the procedure that should have been followed. I'm not sure whether should the legal department and the legal from the department come in there.
Thank you, Chair. We would noted what the state advisors have indicated, but I think this flew from the discussions that have been made in the committee, that perhaps the areas where the changes are being made should be reflected. We are well aware of what the state of affairs has been indicating, but I think it will flow with what the discussions that have been held here. Thanks. So I don't understand the department's response. I think the point that's been made is there should be a general clause where all references to permit, except for those that, you know, the permanent residence permit, all those references are amended to reflect the word visa. So there must be one clause so that you don't overlook some instances in the act, perhaps something like that. Yes. Yeah, so that it's a sort of a general safety net. I think that's the point they're making. And I don't think the way the department has dealt with it here flows from what we discussed in this committee. The only thing we said was that all, you know, that we only have two things, and that's a visa for all temporary situations, permits, whatever state. And for the, there's only one permanent visa, one permanent instrument, which is the permanent residence permit. So I think that was the point we made in the committee. This is only, they are only commenting, the state law advisors, on the way in which you have dealt with that issue here. So you must respond, through your chair, the department must respond to that, please.
Thank you. Perhaps what I would, I have noted that, and having a look at this clause 26, if it's to be reinstated in that way, there is a paragraph that would need to be amended, because the already it makes reference to those permits that were to be retained as permits. Then when it is reinstated, we need to remove that one so that it doesn't contradict the intention that was discussed, because it refers to by the substitute for the word permit or permits wherever it occurs in the act of the word visa or visas, as the case may be, except in cases where, then it says Roman figure 1, reference is made to either a relative's permit, work permit, corporate permit, or an asylum transit permit. So these have all also been changed to become visa. So this will need to be removed so that it becomes clean. And the other thing that but I think it will be taken care of by the Roman figure 2, where it says reference is made to a permanent residence permit. The emphasis where the permit will remain will then become a permanent residence permit. I think it's something that will just clarify with the state advisors and discuss if this will serve the purpose of making sure that what remains is still a permanent residence permit. And thank you, Chair.
So we agree that we are not rejecting that clause 26. We are in agreement, honourable members. Okay. That was the input from the department, and thank you, Ms. Boyce, and the state law advisor, Mr. for the name. And honorable members, time for questions, comments. Honorable Lavmo.
Thank you, Chair. I have a number of questions, and really, Chair, before I even start questioning, the number of changes that have been made, which have been put across as consequential and are not consequential. There are a number of substantial changes here to what was submitted to us last week and the week before. Just again adds to our argument that this bill had been ill thought through. If after so many weeks more and more changes are coming, that this isn't going to work, so let's change it to that. No, we need to add that if we do. I mean, we are not in the position where we should be voting on this bill. But nevertheless, Chair, on the questions that I have on the presentation now, I'm just going to refer to the page numbers of the handout that was given to us, and a lot of these are just for clarity. On page 5, point 2 on page 5 refers to the medical treatment visa, and it refers to the 6B at the bottom of page 5. It says an application for, and this is new, an application for a change of status attached to a visitor's or medical treatment visa shall not be made by the visa holder while in the Republic except in exceptional circumstances as prescribed. I beg your pardon, this is not new, but you're saying an application for change of status, which means you can't change from medical to something else, but you've left out the terms and conditions there, so I'm not quite sure why. It's not critical, but nevertheless, you put it in everywhere else. On page 8 of the handout, going down to subsection 5, and this is dealing with a visitor's visa. It says special financial and other guarantees may be prescribed in respect of the issuance of a visitor's visa to certain prescribed classes of foreigners. What is this? Chair, I don't recall this being in the original page 8, referring to clause 9, subsection 5, visitor's visa. Special financial and other guarantees may be prescribed in respect of the issuance of a visitor's visa to certain prescribed classes of foreigners. What prescribed classes of foreigners? Who's going to prescribe what financial guarantees? Why do we need them? That's certainly not a consequential amendment. Chairperson, I may have... We went through this very quickly, so I certainly may have missed some things, but these are the ones I picked up. On page 10, towards the bottom there is subsection 5. This is it's dealing with clause 12, section 15, subsection 5. It's dealing with a business visa that may be issued to a foreigner for more than one entry, multiple entries into the Republic by that foreigner over a period of time, or necessary for that foreigner to conduct the business in question effectively. I've got no problem with that. Sounds very much like the cross-border permit, which was actually taken out of the original Act and is now being put back, which again makes me question how much thought went into the changes. Is this, in fact, the same thing as the cross-border, which you are now putting back? Chair, on page 11, in the middle of the page, it's entitled New Clause. Clause 14, section 17 of the Principal Act is hereby amended, and it refers to the medical treatment visa. And in subsection B of 14, it says, a medical treatment visa may be issued to a foreigner intending to receive medical treatment in the Republic for longer than 3 months. I'm not sure, I have to admit, what the current situation is. It might be 3 months, but why prescribe the 3 months when it might be shorter than that? Now, something that is totally new is subsection 2 there. When so requested, by and after consultation with the Department of Health, the Director General shall determine an ad hoc fee for the issuance of medical treatment visas in respect of institutions which are publicly funded or subsidized. So what does this mean? Does this mean if I want to go to a hospital, if I'm foreign and I want to go to a hospital or receive some state subsidy or funding, then the Director General of Health and of Home Affairs can determine a fee for me to get the visa? This is new. Has there been consultation with the Department of Health? Why is it suddenly being included? Yeah. It's not a consequential amendment by any means. Here on page 12, and I don't think that this is a change, but I feel the need to question it nevertheless. On page 12, it deals with relative diseases. And it says in section B, subsection 2, the holder of a relative visa may not conduct work. I think, I might be mistaken, that it is so currently. But why, Chair? Why? When South Africa is so short of skills, if the holder of a relative visa is a maths and science teacher, for goodness sake, why may they not conduct work? Why not? I suppose they can apply for other visas, perhaps that's the answer. But simply to say they may not conduct work, I think is absolutely short-sighted when we have such a shortage of skills. Chair, on page 14, again, it says new clause, and we are inserting clause 17, which deals with section 20 of the Act, and it is a retired person's visa. And again, I plead ignorance. I don't know what the requirements are for the current retired person's visa or permit, but I don't think it's 3 months. I don't think a retired person's permit, I don't think they have to apply every 3 months. A retired person's visa may be issued for a period exceeding 3 months, so they can be issued for 3.5 months or 4 months. These are people that would like some stability in their lives, for heaven's sake, to a foreigner who intends to retire in the Republic. And then there are all sorts of conditions that are attached to that. Why exceeding 3 months? On page 15, Chair, it's dealing with corporate visas. And we now are inserting subsection 1A, which means that no corporate visa may be issued or renewed in respect of any business undertaken listed as undesirable by the minister. Okay, but now we come back to transitional provisions. And the department is constantly telling us that we do not need transitional provisions. Well, here is exactly a case in point. There are going to be corporate visas which have been issued. They find themselves suddenly on the list of undesirable corporates. And then what? They must leave. They established when there was no such list, but there are no transitional provisions. Chair, go on page 15, going down to D. It says, this is the maximum number of foreigners. The Director General shall determine the maximum number of foreigners to be employed in terms of a corporate visa by a corporate applicant. Now, we've actually taken out the consultation with the Departments of Labour and Trade and Industry. How is the DG of the Department of Home Affairs going to determine the maximum number of foreigners without consulting? How is he going to do that? Or she, maybe, one day. So to take out the consultation entirely is, to me, foolish. Absolutely foolish. Chair, you attended also yesterday a tourism summit. We had a presentation by the Director General of the Department of Economic Development. And it was actually quite shocking when the Director General of the Department of Economic Development was presenting their way forward. And one of the things that he presented was that their department would be reassessing the work permit regime in South Africa. Is he even aware that the Department of Home Affairs is currently doing this? It was really shocking. Chair, on page 6, yes.
Can we pause a bit and give the department to respond?
Okay, do you have a number of additional... Chair, I've got two more questions. Shall I just finish?
Please don't motivate, straight to the point.
On page 16, We, at the top, we're dealing with Clause 19, deals with Section 22 of the Principal Act. It's the exchange visa. We now have a new subparagraph. It may be prescribed that in respect of certain programs, upon, so what are those programs? Upon expiration of such a visa, such foreigner may not qualify for a status. Everybody has a status. So what does this mean? On page, still on page 16, going down to 19E, subsection 3 there, such foreigner may not qualify for a permanent residence permit within 2 years after the expiry of the exchange visa. Why? Why? And Chair, just lastly, this is something that, or second but last, something that we should have looked at a long time ago, but on page 17 we deal with clause 20, which refers to section 23 of the Principal Act and is asylum transit visa. It concerns me that this states that the Director General may issue an asylum transit visa, which gives the Director General discretion. There is no must about it. It gives the Director General discretion. If I come and ask for an say I'm an asylum seeker, he is under no obligation, as long as the word may is there, he's under no obligation to give me that asylum transit visa. Chair, on page 19, suddenly we have additional crimes for the prohibited persons. I don't have a major problem.
That's the third question.
But they are not consequential.
That's the third question. Can we give the department to respond?
Honourable Chairperson, honourable members, good morning. I think this is what the state law advisor warned against in terms of how we do the deletion of the last section, that clause, the catch-all clause, and if we go and do the subsequent changes in the document, then it opens up new discussions. I think that is what the state law advisor warned against, and this is exactly what is happening here, Chairperson, if I may. All of the issues raised, or most of them, and I shall go through them and CSC will assist me, all of the issues raised by Honourable Lovemore are issues that are already in the Act. It is in the Act, it's there. And all that, and I will go and demonstrate it, Chairperson, if I beg indulgence that we do. If we look at the Act, we will see that it's already there. And if we read the Act and read the regulations, it will answer all the questions asked by I think, Honourable Lovemore. But what if I could just go to some of these, Chairperson, just as per illustration. Page 5, I think. Page 8, I think that is where the Honourable Member starts. If we go to the Act now, that is the Immigration Act number 13 of 2002, all that we are doing there, Chairperson, and one will see from the bracketed word in bold is the word permit that we are now substituting with the word visa. That is intended by the last clause 26 that we removed initially. Now, if we had not removed in the bill the section or clause 26 that says that the substitution of the word permit or permits wherever, the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution of the word permit or permits wherever it occurs in the Act of the word visa or visas as it may be. So if we had kept this clause as advised by state law advisor, we would not have had to go and do all of these changes. Now, if you go to the Act, this is verbatim what is in the Act, except the changes from permit to visa. If one if one goes to page, the other issue raised by Honorable Lagmo on page 10, again, all of them are subsequential. Sorry, consequential, my apologies. Consequential. It's again permit to visa. It is in the Immigration Act number 13 of 2002. If we go, Chairperson, to 11, page 11, on the issue of the department, consultation with the Department of Health, that is subsection, sorry, new clause 1, subsection C, where Honorable Lagmo is asking why prescription for 3 months for a medical treatment permit or visa. Again, it is in the Act, and that prescription will be in our regulations. And the answer.
Just to indicate, all the visas are interconnected. That you've got a visitor's visa that you can issue for a period of 3 months, extendable by 3 months. Then if you issue a medical treatment visa for less than 3 months, you are then, the person who wants treatment for less than 3 months can come on a visitor's visa, get the treatment, then goes out of the country. I think that's where the interconnection comes, that you cannot issue a permit for 3 months and then you still have a visitor's visa for 3 months. So they serve the same purpose. That's a part of the explanation why most of the visas will say from 3 months onwards. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I may continue on page 12 again, that the holder of a relative permit, as in the Act, may not conduct work. It is again, Chairperson, in the original Act. It says subsection 3. The holder of a relative's permit may not conduct work. Again, that is consequential change of permit to visa. In fact, most of the issues raised, Chairperson, are actually, it's in the Act, and I think, this really just proves the point, I think, what the state law advisor is trying to advise on the issue. On page 14 again, Chairperson, again consequential changes from permit to visa. It is in the current Act. On page 15, again here, consequential, except of course the after consultation with the Departments of Trade and Labor, I think, of Labor and Trade and Industry, and CSC will respond to that particular one. But these others as well, the Chairperson, are just changing the word permit to visa, except of course, and as agreed by Honorable Member Lovemo, that 1A is one that has been dealt with in the amendments. Which talks to no corporate visa may be issued or renewed in respect of any business undertaking which is listed as undesirable by the minister from time to time in the Gazette and after consultation with the minister responsible for trade and industry. So there are those two there that are, the new one is the after consultation, and CSC will respond to that, Chairperson.
Thanks,
Mr.
Chair. When a person makes an application, you already indicate what number do you need of people to employ. So DG would not give you the number, but the applicant will indicate this is the number I need. Then consideration will be given in terms of the number given that I need so many people. Thank you.
Chairperson, if I may continue, on page 16, all of those there, Chairperson, with the exception of there was an E, but which we changed to F at the bottom. Consequential changes from permit to visa, and it is in the current act. On page 17, again the questions asked that there are current. Let me just have a look at this. Oh yeah, it is the issue May.
Thank you, and through you, Chair. When we draft a provision, let's take example with this one. If there's no discretion, if it's a must, there's nothing that you can do. You simply have to issue. And is that the situation? If you find a person who's a fugitive from justice and he says the act says you must give me this, then you're going to have a problem. Then that's why you when you draft, when using the word must, it should be in the instance where definitely there is no discussion that should be applied. But the may still says consider the available facts and factors, then decide. And obviously there should be a reason for why you did not grant. And there are certain sections in the Act that allow the person who has not been granted an opportunity to can challenge or ask for the review or appeal of the decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And then on page 19 again, and I think that was the last, it is here again, it is consequential, changing from the word permit to the word visa, and there are no new issues that have been introduced. So Chairperson, the department, we tried, maybe if I could explain, Chairperson. What we had tried, and this comes out of discussions that we had within the department with our executive. The executive said, why should we, when dealing with the amendments, the portfolio committee, and I think they themselves had problems in discussions, is that they now needed to refer to about three or four documents when you talk to the amendment. The amendment to the bill. We now have this amendment to the bill, then we have the bill, then we have the act, and then we have the amendment to the act. So our minister said, why don't we just fuse it and put it in one document, all the changes that you want to do, so that it is for ease of reading, everything is there. And that is what we had attempted to do with this copy that we gave in this morning, Honorable Chairperson, was really just for ease of reading and not really to reopen debates on the existing sections of the Act, which we are not thinking of amending at all. As I said, we were warned by the state law advisors that it could open new debate. Indeed, it has. And we are sorry for that, but it was really just done for ease of reading and for ease of referencing when we deal with this with the amendments in the Act. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. McKay. Honourable Member, I think we are going to confine ourselves to the amendments as according to the bill. We are going to confine ourselves to the amendments into the bill, because all other issues that are raised by Honorable Lovemore are in the Act. Most of the issues are in the Act. And I would really propose that we concentrate on the issues that are in the bill, that we're supposed to be looked at by the officials. If I remember, one of the issues that was referred back was the issue of the pre-screening, the change of status, and the, what is this other one? The exchange programs. Those are the issues that are outstanding that we need to deal with. Are we in agreement, Honourable Member? Mr. McKay, I think we will go back to those issues. We are not going to reopen the Act and try and amend the Act again. Yebo, Honourable Lovemore.
Thank you very much, Chair. Two other issues, and the one is related to Section 46. Chair, you have received substantial submissions on Section 46, and that is the repeal of Section 46 dealing with immigration practitioners. I would certainly argue that they are substantial enough to justify us going back to that, and I hope that we do. Well, we will have to if we're going clause by clause. And Chair, I was truly shocked, as I have already said, by some of the statements that were made by the Minister of Tourism and by two Directors General yesterday, who have no idea that this bill is before us, before Parliament, and who indicate that they will be seriously affected by that and have not been consulted. So, really, Chair, surely consultation is something, I don't know how it is done at this stage. I mean, what we would like to see ultimately is that this bill gets taken back, start the process over again, consult properly. It was never, ever done by the department. And these things are coming out now. But certainly Section 46, Chair, we do have substantial submissions, excuse me, and the section that deals with passenger processing. There are submissions as a result of yesterday's interactions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Lovemore. I'm not a minister and I don't sit in cabinet. I would speak as to what happened. My information is that before the bill is presented before Parliament, the cabinet has gone through all that, the processes of the bill. So I'm not sure who was there, who was not there. I cannot answer on their behalf. And as for the Section 46, that section was discussed extensively. If members want to open up the discussion on that, it's up to the members to discuss that. The minister came here and explained that with regard to big companies that recruit people from outside, there is a process that the Home Affairs always follow. It was discussed. She stated it clearly here. All of us were here and we heard her. FIPSA made its submissions and they made their prayer presentation. No one was denied the opportunity to do that. All the stakeholders came and made their presentation. Nobody was denied that opportunity, honorable members. And it really amazes me that when we are just at the end of the bill, then we need to go back and do this, we need to go back and do that. I don't understand. I really don't understand. And honorable members, please help. Let us know. Go, either we go forward or backward. We always take one step forward, three steps backward. Honorable Marcella.
Thank you, Chairperson and colleagues. The question which I would like to pose to you, Chairperson, you will recall with an interaction with, I think it was one of the, it was Law Society of South Africa, if I'm not mistaken. they requested to have an interaction with us, simply to debate some areas of concern around the bill. And we actually agreed to meet them because we thought it was important to do so. And that was done in the spirit of trying to encourage some, you know, vibrant and robust debate when we engage on the bill itself, informed, of course, on the areas that which they had to raise, which they later raised them with us in the committee when the opportunity arose for everyone to do so. And FITSA requested in writing to the chairperson. And I also have a letter which FITSA has, the chairperson of FITSA, Mr. Leonel Isaacson, have written to all of us. I think all members, if they look into their emails, they might have received that letter. Also, detailing the reasons why they need to engage with us. Whether we agree or not with them, I think the point is a principle. My plea is that we should somehow take into cognizance the fact that they want to engage us. Whether we agree or not, that will be in the discretion of members of the committee. But if we give them an opportunity, then we'll be able to listen and use our own discretion, which is all right as members of the committee. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Lapmore, followed by Honorable Bosna, Honorable Gami, and the other. Honorable Bosna.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we were here 3 weeks ago, and we had a document that says these are the issues raised by the stakeholders. And we engaged on that document, and we also made recommendation in terms of what are the issues that needs to be put into the bill. Here we are again, 3 weeks down the line. We are saying again, the stakeholders are saying 1, 2, 3. Changing what we have already recommended to have to be added into the bill. Both honorable members were part of that particular meeting when we dealt with that. And we need to, Chair, agree that at times stakeholders raise issues, some of which will be accommodated, some of which will not be accommodated, and reasons be advanced in terms of why they shouldn't be accommodated. It's not a must that each and everything that has been raised by stakeholders should be accommodated, depending on what we are dealing with at that particular moment. And here I think it is the DA that raised that we are wasting a lot of time on this bill. We have so many changes that are done, but all of these changes come from them. And I remember the last time they said, you want us to cooperate, and if you don't want to listen to us, we will walk out. And we are trying to cooperate, to bring this cooperation they are talking about. But I think they are taking advantage of the fact that we do agree to open doors for issues that they are raising.
In view of the latter remarks made by the honourable member, well, I don't have a problem with the statement that she's making. She may continue making a statement, but the DA that she's referring to, maybe it's another DA, not the one that I'm representing here. We have never in this committee took a stance whatsoever that will walk out to any of the meetings. I would like her to withdraw that, please.
Thank you, Chair. It's lucky enough, it's not an insult. It's just a comment. Chair, I will therefore continue where I left. If really we do not want to go backward and forward, as if we don't know what we want to do, we will avoid to want the bill to be too prescriptive. Because all the time we come, we want to unpack why and what about this and how. which we have initially said, that would cause a problem. Because every time you unpack why, there will be another why. It will never come to an end. So the law is supposed to state the framework in terms within which we are going to work. And that's what we are trying to do here, to develop that particular framework. In terms of the how part and the which and the whatever, we have stated clearly that that is the part that would come at the implementation level. And we should keep it at that. And I think we need to move. We have agreed that we will not have, for us, and I think the minister stated clearly that thing, to say in terms of Section 46, we do not have a problem with anybody practicing wherever. But we are saying people will not bring documents into our offices that do not have the warm bodies. We want the warm bodies. And that's what we are saying, bottom line. And so I think we should continue from there. And the changes that we said we are doing, I think, as I had listened, everybody agreed to the amendment. And all of a sudden there's this. Lastly, Chair, I think it is important that rather than the DA posing questions to us, they must actually help us and say, what is it that they want to be done on an issue? Because if we answer questions, they then question the answer. So they must tell us their answer so that we engage on the answer and finish the debate, close the chapter and go forth. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm largely covered by the previous speaker. I think we have engaged with all the stakeholders. I had the opportunity, we engaged with them thoroughly, we debated these matters very thoroughly, and we've made a number of amendments to the bill in line with the submissions that stakeholders have made, and in terms of what our debate here. So I would really propose now, and obviously parties can do you know, as they wish as far as that is concerned, but that we vote on the bill, and that we take it clause by clause, as amended obviously by this latest amendments, these latest amendments. We take it clause by clause, and then parties can, we know exactly what everyone's position is at this point in time, then obviously they can exercise their views by voting in a particular manner on every clause.
Honourable Lafmo, Honourable Makuba, you followed by Honourable Peterson, Honourable Matelebele.
I'm very disturbed at the things that are being said. What was said next to me was not merely a statement, it was a lie. It was a downright lie. But
point of order, I don't think it's parliamentary to say of another member that you or she is lying.
And with the if she is.
I withdraw it, Chair. Chair, what my colleague next to me said is that the DA is not helping us. Well, the DA is not here to help necessarily the ANC. The DA is here to represent the needs and interests of the citizens of South Africa as best it can. We take our role very seriously, and we work very hard at it. And we will not stop doing that, no matter how much comes our way. Chair, the Minister did give us a presentation on her view of the bill. She also, on the same day, that was the 8th of February, on the same day she had a media statement. I actually called a point of order, I stand by that point of order on that particular day, that the Minister has in fact no right to tell us that something will go through, which is exactly what she did do, and this is the way that things will be done. The bill is in our hands. Our hands. But Chairperson, let me just remind you, in terms of going backwards and forwards, we are not doing that. First of all, we are presented with a piece of legislation which we have to properly consider. We do not take it as a fait accompli because the department has given it to us and something that must be passed. We have to apply our minds. And I can promise you that the Democratic Alliance certainly has done that. But on the 8th of, we had public hearings, Chair, for 3 days. So we questioned only the presentations during those public hearings. On the 8th of February, the Minister presented to us, and the Deputy Director General presented to us. The questioning was confined to the Minister's presentation. On the 15th and 22nd of February, Chair, we had amendments presented to us. The questioning was confined to the amendments presented to us. On the 1st of March, which is today, we had further amendments, some consequential, some not, presented to us. The questioning has been confined to those amendments. We have never, never gone through this entire bill clause by clause and deliberated. We've never, ever done it. We have not done it. No, if you go back and check, read PNG, go back and check exactly what happened on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and of course today. We have never deliberated on this bill. So Chair, we are not going backwards. We are just trying to do a really good job of getting a decent piece of legislation that serves South Africa out of this committee. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Makuba. Thank you, Chairperson. I would just like to say, Chairperson, that I'm getting a bit disappointed because, you know, we are this Portfolio Committee of Home Affairs. We disagree to agree in the end. So I would like to request members of the committee to not to point fingers, you know, exchange words that are going to create some animosity. So what I'd like to say to the department is that I would like to say thank you for this, because truly it was becoming difficult to work with all the documentation that we were having. And I would like to say that maybe it will be seen as if one person is wasting the next person's time, but I don't think that is what is being done here. And I would like to agree with Honourable Lovemore that we're trying to come up with a proper document. And in the end, we mustn't forget that last week we requested that we needed to take the document back to our caucuses. We might be back here from our political parties with some different views from them. So I think it is only fair that we raise those. If we have to discuss, let's discuss further. And it's not, it's our time, yes, it's time consuming, it's taking longer, but it's taking longer to get to the right thing. Thank you.
Honourable Madonna Peterson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted also to say that I'm really disappointed at this, and I just want to come to your words, Chairperson, of saying that let's confine ourselves to this bill and we have a way forward. And I really propose that I definitely agree with Honorable Gum to say that we vote for this issue if it comes to that. But we didn't like that because as a committee, we are just a discipline committee. We don't want to be taken back. We have understood the document, and we want to thank also the department for bringing this simple document they have brought today. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just disappointed, Chairperson.
Honourable Matebe, followed by Honourable Marcella, Honourable Gosner, Honourable Gam.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just maybe clarity on this committee. Because I just wanted to know the purpose of the committee. What is it you want to achieve? Because really, I don't see us going anywhere. If that is the case, let's just be assisting each other. I think for DA, saying that they are not here to have anything with anything, they are here to represent their organization, to me doesn't make any sense, because the purpose of ours as a committee of home affairs is to build a country, to take this country somewhere. So let us work together and see to it that we are no longer going back. The issues we have discussed a month ago still discussing today. What is the goal to achieve? What is the goal we wanted to achieve in any case if, as a committee? Thank you, Chairperson.
thank you once more, Chairperson. I I think this comes to a point where neither of the parties present here would have loved to get into. It is indeed one of those unfortunate situations. I think the organization that I represent is an organization that is a South African organization which has the interests of the country at heart. We don't want to make that statement more than that, to say that we would like to see progress in the debate, and obviously getting to a stage where we vote on the bill. But if you look at voting on the bill, it is a stage that normally we have that at the very final phases of any debate. Now, what has happened is that there are concerns which have been raised by some members in the committee that probably it would be wise to have a proper debate around the bill and dealing with the bill clause by clause, debating it. Then the voting takes place at a different day so that we allow the caucuses as well to further express their views because of some of the technical changes that we may have seen, everybody here, including the ANC. And I'm not speaking on behalf of the ANC, and I would like to even begin to attempt to do that. But I do believe that the view that we have, the views that we have shared with the committee, especially from the Democratic Alliance, is that there may have been areas here where, even if we disagree now, that given the time and enough consultation, we may not necessarily disagree on those areas. So my request is that we debate this thoroughly, and then in the next meeting, then we allow the voting to take place. And I think the worst would be to send the bill back for proper thinking, to go into it, given the views of the department. They seem to have very creative ideas around which this bill could look like. But I mean, that would be the worst of the situation. I think the approach, the former would take the precedence, unless the committee shoots the other way. But voting today, Chairperson, really, is not going to do justice to the committee.
Honorable Bosma.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I think we are coming to the reality now, and which is good. Because when we started here, and Chair, I just wanted to put that on record, it was said clearly by Honorable Lovemore that the bill had not been done justice from the onset. Hence, there has been so many changes into that bill. And I think I was responding to that to say, if that is the case, let's debate issues. Let's have what the DA wants, and let us discuss from that particular point now, because I think we've done what we are supposed to do. Now, all of a sudden the DA is agreeing that the department has done a good job, which is good. Have we not taken a stance? I don't think the DA could have come to that point. And I think now we are progressing. Otherwise we would be stalled into certain questions of hows and whys. And I think now we can engage on what would be presented if the DA has got something to be presented, but going forward in terms of concluding this particular bill. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I just wanted to respond to two matters. The one is actually three matters. The one is, you know, the contention by a lot more that there are so many amendments now to this bill, and that shows that it hasn't been thought through properly. I think the fact that we have a number of amendments is indeed because this committee engaged very thoroughly with this particular process and bill, and it's as a result of that, and also as a result of inputs from not only stakeholders but also opposition parties. So I would think that the opposition's approach would be, under these circumstances, that yes, indeed, you've taken many of our views into account, and not the kind of approach that seems to be at the moment. Secondly, with regard to the allegation or contention that there hasn't been consultation, proper consultation with other departments, I think you made the proper point earlier, Chair, when you said that before a bill is referred to Parliament, it has to be approved by Cabinet. And obviously that is an opportunity where all ministers are present, supposed to be present, and where they make their inputs, and where they can also then, if they don't agree with certain aspects of the bill, the result of such a discussion in Cabinet can indeed be that the matter is referred back to the relevant department and with certain instructions from Cabinet. So I think, you know, in the case of all bills, also this one, that consultation on the broadest possible front has obviously taken place. Thirdly, and this is quite an important point, Honourable Lovemore is alleging, and incorrectly so in my view, and the record will clearly also reflect that, that we haven't deliberated this bill properly as far as all the different clauses are concerned. You would remember that during our previous meeting where the deliberations took place, we canvassed certain specific issues that were still outstanding, and we discussed it with the department and gave answers to the questions, and we discussed certain formulations and so on. Then we made the point from the ANC side that, and the committee agreed to that, and that was that if there are any other outstanding matters with regard to any clause of the bill that people want to raise and canvass, you know, this is the opportunity to do that. And we decided on that approach instead of now, you know, discussing every clause where permit, the word permit has been changed to visa, whatever the case may be. That was what this committee, including Honourable Lovemore, agreed to. And she then had the opportunity, and all the other members had the opportunity, to canvass every clause they wanted to canvass at that point in time. So it is not correct to say that we haven't deliberated on all the clauses of this bill. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, Honourable Members, we have deliberated on this matter. What our way forward now is to give the DA the opportunity to make their, to take us through their submission, and from there we discuss the submission and continue with our meeting. Honourable Lovemore.
Thank you, Chair. The submission is relatively long, and I haven't included those sections that we agree with or we accept would not be problematic. I must raise, in the email when I sent this through, I did say that we reserve our right to argue further or to raise any other concerns. Before starting to go through this, I must raise our concern about costing. There has been no attempt to cost the implications of this bill, and it is very likely that there will be costing or costs. as a result of the implementation. No regulatory impact assessment has been done. I realize that that is not a legal requirement of every bill, but this is going to affect numerous departments, and it is certainly something that should be done. We believe the consultation has been inadequate, as has the deliberation. Chair, port of entry visa, the question is simply, is this nomenclature in line with international norms? And clause 2N pertains to a visa to proceed to a port of entry, and that would have to be amended, so that's a consequential amendment. There might well be some things that are in this submission that have been addressed. So on page 1, clause 2B, which is looking at definitions of corporate applicant, one of the things that has changed is that in the Principal Act, the juristic person could have been established under the laws of a foreign country. That has actually been taken out. Now, corporate applicants are likely, because they're coming in under visas, to be established foreign businesses and indeed established under the laws of a foreign country and not under the laws of the Republic. So why take that out? We submit that must be reinserted. Chair, I'm not going to go through the sort of wording clauses where wording doesn't read right, or where things have been addressed. Just as an example, on page 3, it talks about a permit being a relative's permit, etc. And I've asked simply why an asylum transit permit is there, not an asylum transit visa, and it actually has been changed to a visa. So I'm not, and I've asked that in a number of cases, so I'm not going to go through each one of those. Chair, I want to come to page 4 of the submission, the bottom of page 4. Oh, I'm probably dealing with a different... Yes, I am. Okay, let me refer to the clauses. Sorry, I've printed out for myself the one where I've got accepted in there. Clause 3A is amending section 4.2 of the dealing with Immigration Advisory Board. The Democratic Alliance agrees with the submission of the Law Society of South Africa that the proposed amendment appears to allow the minister to decide which government department she should be cooperating with, and she might well only include those that she does not see as a hindrance or does not see as being obstructive. Taking out the required consultation we see as problematic. Also, LSSA has indicated that there should be at least one representative of the organized legal profession and the Immigration Advisory Board. We agree 100%. The minister, according to the bill, will designate from the members of the board a chairperson and a deputy chairperson. We submit that the board should in fact elect its own chairperson and deputy chairperson. The minister has enormous discretion, and it should not extend to the election of the chair. Chairperson not included in the amendment bill is the function of the Immigration Advisory Board. I certainly personally have brought this up during discussion, and it was brought up by LSSA when we had our discussions directly with them. What the bill says at the moment is that the minister, or that the advisory board, Immigration Advisory Board, shall advise the minister in respect of certain things. However, the minister is not obliged to accept or even take cognizance of that advice. Our submission is that the wording be changed. Instead of the board shall, it should read the minister shall consult with the board in respect of, and it would be the various things like the making of regulations, etc., the content, formulation of policy, all of these things. I've actually included what the functions of the board are. Clause 4C, which amends Section 711, which is regulation making, it talks about the fees that may be charged in respect of the application for issuing permits and visas and other services rendered, including advanced passenger processing and passenger name record information transmission. And these are fees that would be charged by the Department of Home Affairs for advanced passenger processing and passenger name record information transmission. So the question is exactly who will be paying these fees. I should not imagine that it will be Home Affairs. It will be AXA, air companies, etc. How can Home Affairs dictate those fees? Clause 4D, also pertaining to Section 7, regulation making, deals with immigration practitioners, and we'll deal with that later. I've included Clause 5B, which amends Section 9 for admission and departure. But I do believe that that has been attended to in the changing of the wording that was presented to us today. Chair, moving on to Clause 7B then, which amends Section 10.2. No definition has been given, and it would be interesting to know just what the department considers as the length of stay for a visa versus the length of stay for a permit. At the moment, as I understand, we only have one permit, and that's the permanent residence permit. But here we have two submissions with which the Democratic Alliance agrees entirely. Evan Nathan Sonnenbergs introduced themselves as the biggest law firm in Africa. They are certainly worth taking seriously. They, and this is verbatim from their submission, they said applicants for visas and temporary residence permits will have to, obviously that will change, will have to visit offices of the Department of Home Affairs or Foreign Embassy to apply in person for their status. Attorneys, advocates, and immigration practitioners may no longer lodge applications on the applicant's behalf as provided for in the current Act. And they talk about the numerous problems that that will give rise to. FIPSA also said that all permit applications should be submitted in person to Home Affairs Office or an embassy overseas, although couriered applications have been acceptable in the past. And Chair, we'll get to Section 46 and then the repeal of that. But this is something that it's one of those things that have changed as we have gone along. And we are not certain of where we are at the moment or where we're going to end up in actual fact. When we first discussed the repeal of Section 46, it was said that the section would be repealed. The general understanding was that that meant that anybody could, in fact, act on behalf of a client. The department said that they would, and this was in November last year when the Director General, Mr. Apleni, did his presentation to us, that he said to us that the department no longer wanted to be responsible for the regulation of the industry, which to a certain extent we can understand. The department is not keeping up with that at the moment. Maybe there should be a temporary period of 5 years or something given to regulate itself. That was what Mr. Apleni said. Things have changed dramatically to the extent that on the 8th of March, the minister told us that no Home Affairs official would deal with an immigration practitioner. Immigration practitioners will not be allowed into their offices with documentation brought in on behalf of a client. The difference from what we heard in November to what we heard in March is immense. So this is something that is very concerning, and it needs to be considered. the originally, Chair, we were told, and I'll move off this point now, but we were told that the Department of Home Affairs needed to see an applicant once, at least once, to know that that face belongs to that name, that person, etc. That's fine. I think everybody accepts that. Not every time. Not every time. And this is what this is requiring. Clause 7C, which is amending Section 10.6, we are very concerned that the Law Society of South Africa interprets conditions to include time periods. Now, we've raised this before. We've raised it as a concern before, and the department has said, no, it won't. But if a credible organization like the Law Society of Southern Africa, people like Julian Pocroy, who's been an immigration lawyer for a very long time, is interpreting it as such, then I think it has to be taken seriously, and it must be clarified. Chair Clause 9, which amends Section 13, the study permit, we concur again with a submission made by Edward Nathan Sonnenberg's, which says that study permits must ensure that the amendment will be issued for a period not less than the period of study, and that is impractical, subject to abuse, and propose that the study permits be issued in accordance with the duration of period of stay of the main permit holder. Clause 11A, amending Section 15.1, which is the business permit. I just want to see whether this, in fact, has been dealt with. So I think the most important thing here is our last sentence, and that is that the regulations or notice, whatever it might be, that lists undesirable businesses must be submitted to Parliament for approval. Chair, the Democratic Alliance certainly doesn't expect all regulations to come to Parliament. We realise that this is an enabling piece of legislation, and this appears to be the way to go, to have the Act as an enabler or an enabling framework which enables you to make regulations easily. However, those regulations have as far-reaching effects as these possibly can have, they should come to Parliament. I've supplied you with a copy of something that is currently in the Correctional Services Amendment Bill, and the way that we can do it. So the regulations or notice listing undesirable businesses must be submitted to Parliament for approval. And the same for Clause 11C, amending Section 15, business permit. The regulations or notice prescribing the percentage or number of citizens or permanent residents must be submitted to Parliament for approval. Clause 12D, which deals with the work permit, and this is the critical skills. There is no discretionary clause, Chairperson. So I'm not entitled to come to you and say, look, I am a conductor of orchestras. I'm recognized worldwide. And I want to come to South Africa and see what I can do to help. I'm over 25, so, you know. But to see what I can help, where I can help locally. I'm not a critical skill, but I'm an exceptional skill. There is no discretionary clause. The second question there is, what is the position with respect to exceptional skills permits or quota permits that expire and that suddenly find themselves also not on the list of critical skills and there's no transitional provision? Transitional provisions are certainly something that has to be attended to. Clause 13A deals with a corporate permit, and here we're talking about businesses in any sector excluding the prescribed sectors. Again, we should have a discretionary clause inserted, and coming to Parliament must be the regulations or notice prescribing the sectors that are going to be excluded. Sectoral 14 is the exchange permit, the under 25 permit, and there they are not allowed to do any undesirable work. We would like to see the undesirable work regulation stroke notice. Clause 50, the asylum transit permit. We, the Democratic Alliance, question the word the nearest in clause 23.1. Asylum transit visa is now to be issued to a person for a period of 5 days to travel to enable that person to travel to the nearest refugee reception centre. Cape Town would never be the nearest unless that person came in by ship, which is, I'm sure most people don't. The words the nearest must be deleted and then it should simply be replaced by a refugee reception centre. And again, the regulations that prescribe the terms and conditions, and I know this was changed somewhat today, but there will still be prescribed terms and conditions must be submitted to Parliament for approval. This is a human rights issue, and I certainly believe that this committee has the responsibility to ensure, as part of its oversight role, to ensure that we at all times adhere to our international obligations. Chair, I haven't written it in here, but again, I request that this be changed to the Director General must, and there's no saying that this then makes it obligatory. It doesn't. It's still subject to any terms and conditions. It doesn't make it obligatory. So if a person is a prohibited person, for instance, the Director General does not have to. It is subject to terms and conditions. But if that person is not a prohibited person and that person comes and says, I am seeking asylum, the Director General must. It is a must, not a may. Chair, I think some of those are worded. I've put in a lot of why repeat the permits, and that has all been changed. Chair, coming to clause 20B, which is undesirable persons, amending section 31, undesirable persons. I actually don't know what the situation is here, but I certainly know that our practices in the Democratic Alliance is that if somebody has committed a crime, they have served their sentence, they then come out of prison, they are no longer considered a criminal. But we are considering them a criminal for life and saying that we don't want them in South Africa. So is the question is simply, is this acceptable? Is this in line with international norms? Clause 20B, again, Chair, also undesirable persons. One of the additions has been any person who has overstayed the prescribed number of times. And Edward Nathan Sonnenberg was one of a number of people or institutions that made submissions on this, really based on the fact that people overstay as a result of the department not processing their applications in time. The Edward Nathan Sonnenberg proposed that any permit holder whose application is pending for more than 3 months at the time of expiration of their existing permit be granted an automatic extension of their permit until such time as their application is adjudicated. Now, when we raised this previously, Mr. McKay said it's not a problem, they get a Form 20. Well, Form 20s were done away with in November last year. This is a problem. This is a problem. There are no Form 20s any longer. Chair, Clause 21 deals with the duties with regard to conveyances. Now, here, Chair, I'm not sure if you were there yesterday. I think you were. When this came up, I have a letter from the South African Bus Operators Association. This is the result of this being mentioned yesterday, particularly pertaining to domestic travel. The way that this reads, Chair, is that every no domestic flight, and I'm using flight as an example because it could be any conveyance, it's a prescribed conveyance, so it could be a minibus, it could be a Greyhound bus, it could be a flight. But no domestic flight may leave until such time as it has submitted its list of passengers to the Department of Home Affairs. The Director General then has to issue a boarding advice. Domestic flights. The Director General has to issue a boarding advice in respect of all passengers. So if there is an illegal foreigner, as has been explained to us before, we can say, okay, they're leaving Cape Town now, within the next half an hour, get your immigration officials in place in Port Elizabeth, where they're going to be arriving in an hour and 10 minutes' time, and we can arrest that illegal foreigner. So every flight would have to wait for a boarding advice from the Director General. How practical is that? It appears nonsensical, and it certainly is something that we need to look at again for domestic conveyances. Just very quickly, Chair, from the Bus Operators Association, there are approximately 25,000 buses and coaches in the industry, 18,000 buses and coaches involved in formal transport, 806 million passenger trips per annum. And a very strongly worded submission also from South African Tourism Association, saying that this is a very serious concern. It is simply undoable, would place massive additional burdens on them. And the letters are here for the perusal of the department. Conveyance has to be properly, it says prescribed conveyance, it has to be properly defined. But there are many questions pertaining to particularly domestic conveyance or domestic transport. Now, Chair, that brings me to Clause 23, which deals with the repeal of Section 46, Immigration Practitioners. We fully support the WITS submission, which said that ACMS recognizes that there's a need to address the problem of unlicensed immigration practitioners. And, Chair, it appears that the reason for the department not wanting to deal with immigration practitioners is because there are corrupt and very much in inverted commas immigration practitioners, people who purport to be registered immigration practitioners. There's supposed to be a register which the department is supposed to maintain. Perhaps these are not immigration practitioners. Clamp down on them. Don't kill the industry. This went on to say, however, we believe that the situation calls for licensing and regulation of immigration practitioners rather than their elimination. And, Chair, you have been supplied with letters from numerous large enterprises in South Africa, operating in South Africa, often by foreigners or utilizing foreigners or traveling substantially, saying that they use immigration practitioners all the time and that they need to. FIPSA has said the related advisory professions would also lose their current recognition and right to do business in this field, and jobs would be lost in the economy. We know it has been said that the repealing of Section 46 would result in an unregulated industry in which anyone would be able to advise applicants, causing further problems in a sector which we believe needs increased regulation. The minister herself said, continue with your consultation. We just don't want you in our offices. That was never, I do not believe, the DA does not believe, the original intention of the bill. It was not presented as such by Mr. Apeni in November last year. This has to be looked at seriously in light of the numerous letters, Chair, that you have received. This is a needed industry, and having been involved simply for 4 months in this committee and dealing with all the queries that I get, and seeing the level of expertise that you have to try and develop to assist, it's quite frightening. Clause 24 deals with offences. And I do apologise for not recognising that this is LSSA, the Law Society, that has actually indicated that the words "and or comply" in clause 24.10 should be inserted after "to contravene". This is the bribing of officials. It's only an offence bribing them to contravene the law, but if you bribe them to comply, for instance, within a shorter time, or to put you at the front of a queue, or whatever it might be, that should also be an offence. So that certainly should be looked at. And here then, clause 25A deals with administrative offences. And this is foreigners who leave the Republic after the expiry of their visa being liable to administrative fines. We concur with this, and in fact I have a problem exactly like this on my desk at the moment, that the provision should add the following qualifying language: unless such person has applied for an extension or change of status within the prescribed time period, there should be no administrative fine otherwise. Section 53 of the Principal Act is not contained in the bill. Section 53 deals with transitional provisions. LSSA said the amendment bill does not make any provision for transitional arrangements relating to existing permits under the Act as it now stands in relation to permits to be issued under the proposed amendments. We submit that it must. Deloitte said a very similar thing, that the bill fails to properly provide for a review of Section 53. It is our opinion that Section 53 does not equip the department to legally assist with a formal transition strategy. This we've brought up a number of times. We have not received an adequate and satisfactory answer from the department, and we again submit that this needs to be attended to. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Lovemore. Members, that is a submission by DA. Could we have a comment from Honourable Members?
Yes, you know, in a sense, obviously we listen to everything that Honourable Lovemore said, but you know, in a sense, she's now taking us back to the deliberation stage. And many of these matters that she canvassed just now has been canvassed before as well. And we have received answers as far as those matters are concerned. There might also be there are a few new matters, I think, that she didn't raise when she actually had the opportunity during the deliberation phase at the previous meeting. And the other respect in which this is not that helpful, the submission by the DA, is, you know, one would expect at this point in time that they would come here with very specific amendments. Here and there, some of these amendments have been proposed. But, you know, one would expect them at this stage where we are now not to come and say they agree with this submission that has been made and that submission or whatever the case may be, but to come up with something similar to this document that has been provided to us today and say, in this respect and in that respect, clearly indicating how they want clauses to be inserted, amended, whatever the case may be. That is the stage that we have reached now. And in that sense, this submission is really, not taking us to that point where one could actually say, okay, this is an amendment that is proposed by the DA, let's consider that now together with what we have on the table. So that is basically my comments. Thanks.
Thank you.
Other comments? Honorable Bosman.
Can we then agree that since there has been deliberations earlier on and we have agreed on what should be put into the draft, the bill, we should continue giving the department the last chance in terms of the modification of the document out of the advices that were made from the state advisory lawyers, and we then come into the next meeting to finalize the document.
Honorable Lavma.
Chair, this is turning out to be a difficult meeting with a lot of disagreement. Chair, we have lawyers, advocates sitting opposite us. I'm not one. Andre Gaum, the Honorable Gaum, is an advocate. He is able to put together a bill. I'm sure if I put my mind to it, I certainly could do that. It's not what I'm employed for, it's what state law advisors are employed for. Chair, I have, well, the Democratic Alliance has submitted and been allowed to present issues that we believe require further deliberation. I understood, certainly, that it was agreed that we could deliberate clause by clause before we go to the vote. Whether we have raised things that have previously been raised is neither here, well, in fact, it's very important because they haven't been addressed. They have not been addressed. So I agree that we have to delay the voting, but I still maintain that we have not, clause by clause, deliberated. We have only deliberated on what has been presented to us on a day by the minister or by the department. We need to go back to clause by clause, taking into account our submission, whether it is in Honourable Gaum's format or not. But I certainly agree that the voting must be postponed. There is still too much dissension. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, Honourable Matele, before you come in, I thought we were deliberating on this document, and Honourable Gaum has come with a suggestion, and Honourable Bosman supported that all issues that were raised were explained during the submissions by the stakeholders, and most of the issues that were raised here were addressed by the department. I need to move forward because the issue that now we must deal with is to deliberate on the bill clause by clause. Honourable Matebe, followed by Honourable Bosma.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with Honourable Lovemore that they have done deliberation. But my concern is time frame. How long does it going to take? Because we really need to move forward. Let us know a time frame, because really we've been dealing with this issue more than a month now. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I think you have mentioned what is good to say. We need to go cloth by cloth on this particular deal to level the ground. And Chair, all what I was saying was that for us to be able to do that, this document must have all the advices that we got today, so that as we go through a clause, we will not go back again because of some of the inputs that might have been left out. So that's why I was saying, let's allow the department to give us a final document that is inclusive of all the deliberations we made today. And then we take that document and we go clause by clause in terms of what is contained in the act. Thank you, Chair.
Celestine, the view by Honorable Bosma, I support it fully, and I'm hoping that that will be the best for everyone in the committee.
The view is great. Honorable Bosma, please help me here. What you're saying is that what you're proposing actually is that we use this document that was presented to us by the department. For the department to look at it and fine-tune it, and then I think we must come back again to deliberate on the document. And are we not going to discuss clause by clause the bill today? Is that what you honorable members are saying, that we don't discuss the bill clause by clause until we have this document from the department? Okay. Honorable Lamu, can you help?
Chair, I agree. I don't. The way that I understood what we should have is what the bill would actually, what the final amendment or the amended act would look like. Is that correct? So that we can, so that we don't have to keep cross-referencing. I know that, I'm not sure if that's what you meant, because we have the amended bill in front of us. What I am asking, though, Chair, is that when the department goes back and it redrafts, taking into account some concerns that were raised today, please, we are fully part of this committee. We have put together a submission raising concerns. It must be taken into account by the department. I'm not saying that they have to make changes. I understand that they will not always make changes, but it must be considered as part of the formal deliberations of today's meeting and be taken into account in putting together a document which is brought back to us. But I don't understand fully what Honourable Bosman means.
I think I also don't understand your statement now, that the department go back and take the issues that you have raised also. Is that what you are saying? Be included in the next document?
No, I'm not saying that they must be. Obviously, I'd love them all to be. But I'm not saying that they must be. What I am saying is that the department, just as it is listening to what is said by the various members, this is part of the official proceedings of today's meeting. It must be considered when the department puts together its final version.
Are you talking about your submission?
Yes, Chair.
How do you do that? And how do you incorporate your submission in this document?
Well, I would certainly hope that the legal advisor would look at some of the concerns raised and see whether things should not be changed, or whether the department is prepared to or not. Bearing in mind that this is not actually the department's piece of legislation at the moment, it's ours. But we do rely on them to make the changes.
I think this is the DA's submission to the committee.
Yes.
And it's in my understanding is that the Honourable Dam, you know, stated it clearly that all the issues that were raised here were addressed by the people who made submissions, the stakeholders made submissions, and members deliberated on all the issues that were raised by stakeholders. Those that we felt should be incorporated were included,
And where we feel that this should be changed and be grafted in this particular manner, that was done, like the change of status. It was changed to be, to, you know, to be drafted according to the way we want the to be. So I don't understand when you say now we must incorporate this into this document. I really don't understand. The problem, I mean, our way forward is there are no actually issues that were raised today. What the department can maybe do is to go and work, state law advisor, please, you're going to have to come in, with regard to that section 26. Because we are saying this must come in the act, as to how is this now going to affect this document. I think that is how you are going to now work on that. Am I right, Sid? Can you maybe please clarify?
Yes, Chairperson, the Chairperson is right, as well as Mr. Botma is right, that this document that the members have discussed today, because of members say, no, we're not rejecting clause 26, we're retaining clause 26. So what Ms. Botma is saying, that we must go then and rework this document, you know, and take all those new clauses and then stick with clause 26 and just refine clause 26 as the department has said, and take all those new clauses that we say because they are addressed through that omnibus clause, which is 26, and then come then with this document, final document, that members can then look at it, then consider the bill clause by clause and agree.
We are in agreement, honorable members. We hope, because we've been postponing the voting on the bill, I'm sure this is the first time we're postponing this. The next meeting, we're expected to invite the IEC and FPB. In fact, we have invited them to come and make the presentation. On the budget. And they are prepared, the IEC, with regard to their preparedness for the towards the local government elections. So we are agreeing that next week we're going to vote on the bill before we get the IEC and the FPP to make the presentation. I hope we agree on that. Honorable Kam?
Yeah, I think it's very important that we understand exactly what our approach is going to be now, so that we don't have another misunderstanding as to whether we vote or deliberate or whatever the case may be. I think that we have indeed deliberated on this bill, and we have deliberated on it in a manner, as I explained earlier, at the previous meeting, and we actually continued that today. But at the previous meeting we said, instead now of going clause by clause and looking at every clause where permit is changed to visa, whatever the case may be, if members have any other concerns about any of the clauses, they, then they should, you know, raise it in that meeting. And all members have the opportunity to do that. So I think it should be quite clear that we have now finished the deliberations on this particular bill, number one. Number two, we are conceding that point, that we are not voting today on the bill. But next time when we come here, we are going to vote on the bill clause by clause, and then on the bill as a whole, as we always do. Thirdly, that to make it easy for us, the department, as explained now and mentioned by the Honourable Boardman and so on as well, that we have one document. That document is the bill with all the amendments, also these latest amendments, so that we can see on what clauses we are actually now voting. With the latest amendments, we have one document. But I think the most important thing is that we understand, we go from here with the understanding that we are going to vote next time, and if parties then want to come with specific proposals for amendments, they should do that so that we can then consider those proposals together with the bill as it stands at the moment. Thank you.
It is clear, Honourable Member. Are we in agreement that the next week we are voting on the bill, page by page, and we have also invited the IEC and the FPB to make the presentation? We hope the department, you are going to use this very document that we had. So we don't want to see changes again. On that, honorable members, the meeting is adjourned. I wish to thank all of you, and as well as our department stakeholders who are always here with us. The meeting is adjourned.
Right there.